My name is Arthur. I'm a very y'all hear me? Grateful recovering addict. And as my brother said, man, you know, I've been coming up here ever since they first started. They didn't have an Ocean City when I first got clean. And as my brother said, looking out at them, can everybody just turn around for me and look back? Look back for a minute. Just get caught up in the moment. We are blessed. I just want to start off by saying this. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. You want me to say it one more time? When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Those in literature who like to read the literature, there's some literature out called Illness and Recovery. And I'm going to just say a little bit about me, and then I'm going to give you some information about Illness and Recovery. But you know, my first illness was I had cerebral fusion surgery. Had two doctors. I had an orthopedic doctor and a neurosurgeon. And I couldn't, my arm was hurting so bad, they did everything, last resort was surgery. And you know, there's a myth when people say, once they open you up, y'all heard that before? You know. Well, I've been opened up a many times, and I'm going to share some of it with you. But I had a cervical fusion, they had to go in my neck and take out a disc. That was a neurosurgeon working on that part. Orthopedic had to go to my hip and pull a bone from my hip and take the bone from my hip and fuse it to my neck. Now I got a hip neck. Change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. I had thank God for the program, because the program has got me, and I want to thank them brothers for praying for me over there before I got up here, because I'm telling you, prayers work. And before I came in the program, only thing I prayed about was when I got in trouble, and I said, God, get me out of this, and I promise I won't do it again. And what did I do? I did it again. I wind up, I'm also suffering. You know, there's so many illnesses in recovery. I got post-traumatic stress Probably everybody in this room got it. So check my super head going like this. But I'm a Vietnam veteran. I went in at the age of 19, came out 21, and I was crazy as hell. My drug addiction had speeded up. Wham! It wasn't in slow motion anymore, it was fast forward. And I wound up becoming homeless. And you know, they changed the language because they feel that if you're homeless, it's not as bad as if you're a bum. You know, how you doing? I'm homeless. No, you're a damn bum. That's what they told me. I was a bum. Homeless wasn't even out yet, you know. I was like my brother. I was at the VA and I was looking at people like I'm looking at y'all. And all of a sudden, man, I thank God for institutions that got programs. Thank God for the VA. I love the VA to death. I was reborn there. A lot of my brothers out there, some of them have been in the same program. I see Greg over there, a couple of brothers. Thank God, we said we were rebirthed there. But I was sitting in a group, and all of a sudden, I couldn't see people's eyes, whether they were open or closed. And I told the doctor, I said, something on my eyes. So they got me checked. Come to find out that I had diabetes. And the diabetes had come from, you know, the army lied to us of Vietnam. They said that they only sprayed the Agent Orange in North Vietnam. But they sprayed it all over the whole country. So I'm sitting there and I'm finding out now that I got diabetes. I'm diagnosed. Took the pill, but you know, I was in denial. Kept eating chocolate. Anybody that like chocolate, candy, sweetie? I still get that problem, you know. But I turned around and they said, we're going to put you on the needle. But they called it a syringe. You know, we called it works. That's what we call it. So when I went to the doctor, they said, well, we got to show you how to use this syringe. They took an orange out and they said, you got to take it, make sure you get the air out of it, and bam. And I'm saying to myself, I'm an expert at that. But I had ignorant, like I didn't know what the hell they was doing. I said, can you show it to me again? looking at it differently. Everybody with me? Having a different attitude about what's happening with me. A different attitude. I wound up, I've been on a syringe for 30 years. I abused and hyped the thing that was killing me, man, saving my life. I wore some syringes down here with me down here. I had to count them out. So there were 2, 3, 4. The way you look at things. Where you look at things. Later on, found out that I had cirrhosis of the liver. Now, this is a program. It says, you know, it's a process, and I got through the steps and started believing in God. Y'all follow me? My sponsor said I was an angry man, angry, and I was arrogant as hell. And it's funny, it's funny that the more angry people, the more arrogant people, the people ain't got a damn thing. I ain't had nothing. But I didn't want to hear what the hell you had to say. I was closed. The program helped me open up. So I started getting the physicals, going to the doctor. And my doctor happened to be in the program. His name was Dr. Dietz. He was an AA though. His father was the one that founded Prince George's County Hospital. In fact, you go up the road, this is Dietz Drive, that was his father. But he was an alcoholic. But I was going to see him. So I was going, and he was a hospitalist for examination, for physical. I'm going, and he said, he mentioned something about my liver. And I'm, you know, I'm in the program, But thank God that I went back the next year. And he said, Rico, he said, your liver is, I don't want to cuss, it's effed up. And this is my doctor telling me my liver is effed up. He said, that's just how he said it, like a gangster. Woke me up. He said, I'm going to send you to Washington Hospital Center to get some further examination. So I go to Washington Hospital Center. They put me on this machine. And what's the machine they do to the women for the sonogram? So they took the sonogram, and the guy came over, and he looked at the screen. He left, came back with somebody else. There's two of them. They was looking at it. Then it was three of them came. I said, is it a boy or a girl? Changed my attitude of things, because the program told me I ain't using, so I'm grateful that I ain't using, I ain't on count time. They said, we got to send you to Georgetown. Go to Georgetown. They got all these doctors, psychologists, all kinds of, there's a room of them. And they said, we're evaluating you because you need a liver transplant. That's how bad it was. I said, you got one? I'm ready for one right now. Didn't have the attitude that I was going to die and I might as well use because I'm going to die. Y'all with me? And it's just amazing that this theme is miracle. I always tell people, don't pick up for the miracle. Hey, less than 30 days, I had a liver transplant. Liver transplant, 30 days. They was taking me to my room in a wheelchair. And saw this little white guy had a box. He had a refrigerator on it. And when I saw him, I said, that's my liver in that box. I said, I'll meet you in the morning. Attitude. Disposition about my disease and my illness. Years later, fast forward, because of the medicine I was taking for my liver, it affected my kidney. Doctor said, Mr. Rush, you might have to go on dialysis. I had prepared for a trip to go to Egypt. She said, but I think you need it. I said, Doctor, I'm going on this damn trip. Y'all with me? Attitude, disposition. I went on that 14-day trip. Soon I came back. 2 days later, I was on dialysis. I took a camera with me. I was taking pictures. People was coming to take pictures with me. I had a positive attitude. And you know, a dialysis is a hell of a thing, man. My brother was from New York here. I mean, from D.C., but we had to send him. That's a whole other story. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. Went to New York to a fight at Madison Square Garden. My brother was outside panhandling. We reconnected. I stayed with him. He got the treatment because he went to jail. They gave him all training. He got clean. When he found out I was on dialysis, he talked to the doctor. I didn't even say anything to him. He went to the doctor and said, what can I do to help my brother? Now, he's 18 years younger than me. He took the blood test. The doctor told him it was like 90-some percent that told me, I looked up and said, damn, man, you're my real brother, aren't you? He gave me one of his kidneys.
Praise God.
I'm a double transplantee. Miracle. Miracle. Like I see out here. I don't see nothing but miracles out here. And Lord knows that the day I stopped using, I had no idea of the things that was going to happen to me and the blessings. Because like I've been mentioned throughout this whole entire conference, that the situations that happen to you don't have to be the dead end. It could be a blessing. Right, Richard? I just celebrated 38 years. 38 years. I have to keep saying it because I can't believe it myself. And I had about, I think it was four brothers up there have people that have transplanted, have delivered, they called me up like, somebody got to be there before. You know, I think I'm still here to tell people what's expected when you get 38 years. This is what you're going to get. A happy, happy man that's still on a plane cloud. Because I'm following all the things they told me to do. I had a stroke in September. I had to walk with a cane. How about getting a fly cane? Because I still got a hemorrhage problem. I'm still working on that. So I said, where's your cane, Rico? I said, it's in the car. And then when I was almost about to fall, I said, damn, boy, you better listen to people, get that cane. The illness and recovery. One of the most important things in here is a fellowship, the love, the camaraderie. I'm going to tell you, if I didn't have people to tell me to keep going, keep doing, keep this, you know, even my family didn't understand me. I was the only first one in my family to graduate from college. Now I got two grandsons that are going to sit well friends, man. But the president's daughter goes, keep encouraging people. You know, there's something I would say, we got a disease. A disease is, break it down to two words, this ease. So whenever it's something that you're uncomfortable with, talk about it. Because it's time to work on it. That's an issue. I was nervous. I've been 38 years. I should come. Somebody said, look, man, I know you. My brother said, here, I know you're a man. Look, man, come on, man. I was nervous as hell. Sweating, had to go to the bathroom. I didn't know what I really had to go in now, but I went anyway. Because I didn't bring my depends with me, you know. Brother had to escort me to, well, but he had to escort me to the bathroom, make sure I keep going. Got to have support. I'm going to tell you a little story in Vietnam, you know, that I didn't understand until I came here, man. By the way, I'm still going to therapy. Because I got post-traumatic. Y'all with me? The program told me, man, because you got them years don't mean you have made it. You got to understand your illness, man. But at my platoon, one of the guys in my platoon committed suicide, man. And besides, man, he had a letter. He had got a letter from home. And we picked up the letter and read it, man. And how about another man was writing about his wife? So keep sending that money home. After that, I said, Everybody in this platoon, every letter that you get, everybody got to read your mail. Because we need to know what's going on with you. Y'all follow me? There's no more secrets in here, man. Because them secrets like that will kill you. And then I come into a fellowship, and that's just what we preach here. That's right. Share what's going on with you. The thing that's bothering you, tell somebody. Because that's the illness too. You got family? You got more than that? Got 13 minutes. I need 2 hours. I wind up, I dropped out of hypnotic. This one, like I said, the drug is a symptom of what the real problems. I went all the way to 12th grade in high school in the month of May. I'm in Europe and quit school because I was angry at my parents. My father was old, had an old father and a young mother. My mother was tall, light-skinned. My father was short and dark-skinned. They didn't even look right together. People say, man, that's your grandfather, man? I got a buddy there now. I know they say that to him. His name is Gerald. I ain't going to tell you the other part of him. But I wound up going back to school with him. In the high school diploma, going to college, and check this out. Because of my attitude, I was janitor. And I would swing that mouth and say, everything must change. Nothing stays the same. And I was already predicting and emulating in my mind that I was going to do better. Everybody with me? There's something Murray Bird, most of y'all know Murray Bird. Murray said, if the mind can conceive and the heart believe, the body will achieve. How many times Murray Bird got back up? The mind can conceive, the heart believe, the body will achieve. I'm going to tell this little story. There was four guys that was on a journey, but they had to carry these crosses, like Jesus with them crosses, this journey they on. And as they was going through their journey, one of the guys said it was too heavy to carry the cross. He needed to be cut, a part of it to be cut. The other three kept theirs and they kept going. They had all kind of obstacles that they had to face, all kind of situations, all kind of things they had to deal with. Rejections, illnesses, same thing we go through. But they kept going. The other fourth guy said this thing is still too heavy. He got too much of a burden on him. So he cut his claws a little bit more. When they got to the split, there was a valley, and they had to cross over to the other side. They all, one at a time, put their crosses down. And it was long enough for them to cross over to the other side. The one who had cut his cross during his journey couldn't get over. When I look at all the things that I've gone through, that I had to face, this Narcotic Anonymous program helped me cross over. Because I am not the person that I used to be. I was a predator. And in these rooms, when we put their pocketbooks next to me, I look at it and I do it like that. Nah, nah, nah. and not today. I've learned to be a gentleman in here. Some of us brothers, I'm going to tell you how close we are. We kiss each other on the cheek. We hug, but we kiss each other on the cheek. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because if you've been through with the hell we've been through, y'all with me? And the person there in front of you understand that, they've been through that too. There's love. Don't y'all see love here? Look, I've been coming up here since first. I came up here yesterday to support a friend of mine who spoke early. And I'm going to tell you, I've never seen a Friday that damn this damn proud. It was like Saturday up here yesterday. Am I right or wrong? And that's an indication of how this thing is growing, how we have took those crosses, and we allow not only for us to cross, but for other people to cross as well. People with the handicap, there's a guy in D.C. that's blind. Comes to my home group, never misses Sunday, comes to the home group. But somebody picks him up. I just got some good news. I got hepatitis C. But I got the medicine. And I mean, they could say to me, look, man, you old, you ain't got that much time to live. But I got it. Havana, yeah, everybody. And you know, it's funny, now people in the program say, yeah, man, I got that medicine. Like they got a good shot of dope or a good crack or something. You know, I know people outside that say, that medicine getting you high? But we have it, and we get, but that's the miracle, because it's just like, I found out that I was clean enough to stay clean long enough before I picked up that my body was in shape. Because what they have to do, they have to shut your whole body down, all your organs, and take an organ out, one of the most important organs in your body besides your heart. Y'all with me? Take that out, bam, put that down right here, take another person's liver and put it in my body. Come on, man. It was a movie about, y'all know that movie about the guy had an arm? So he had a transplant, his arm's going around killing people. He got an arm for a killer. Because I had to go see a psychologist. They had to make sure that my mind was right to take some else organ. Y'all follow me? But the program had prepared me for that. Okay? I got 10? 5. Okay. Always want more, don't we? Give me more. I thank God for the people that was before me, my friend, sisters, Doreen, Conley, Brother Rick, Jimmy. You know, all the people that was before me. And I swear, man, I did ask God that if I was to stay sober, stay clean. And I used to hear this, once an addict, what? Always, is that true? No, it's not. We have broken some old beliefs and myths. We have crushed it. Because I'm grown on 39. I'm going to tell you the damn truth. I'm looking for 40. And I'm being optimistic. Dream big. But to say, if you reach for the moon and you can't fall short, you'd be amongst the stars. There was a man who had a puzzle of the world. He couldn't put it together, man. It was 1,000 pieces. He couldn't do it. The son said, Daddy, let me put that puzzle of the world together. He said, son, if I can't put that puzzle of the world together, I know you can. 30 seconds, his son had that puzzle of the world together. father said, "Son, how did you put that puzzle board together?" He said, "Daddy, there was a man on the back of the puzzle." I put the puzzle, put the man together, and the world fell in place. So I couldn't work on you, I had to work on me. And when I was able to do that, things started happening for me. I stopped smoking. And there's no indictment to people to smoke. But when I was in my surgery, they said, "Mr. Rush, you recover quickly because you don't smoke cigarettes or drink." I'd love to tell a doctor, "Do you drink?" "No, sir. I ain't had a drink or drug in 38 years. "Do you smoke?" "I ain't smoked in 30 years. That's another kind of arrogance, isn't it? I owe all that to the NA. And you too. I will never want to feel like I arrived. Because if I do, I know. There's some people that's dying in D.C. There's a lot of our friends dying. But I don't feel too bad about them dying because we all got to go. What I feel good is they didn't OD. They didn't die from any drugs. That's a new way of living. That's what we can promise everybody in this room. That people, you ever seen a dope fiend's obituary? It's only like he was born in Washington, D.C. He attended public schools. That's it. They don't even have the family members in there. I don't want to have to do it. I spoke at funerals where people had died. They said, "Can you speak?" I said, "I don't know your father." "Yeah, but you got a message." Nobody in the family, none of his friends, wanted to speak at his funeral. That's a dope thing, Sean.
Got 1 minute.
I went to that. One more thing. Yeah, I used to ask people to give each other a hug. But look, give each other five. Come on, give each other. Hey, I'm going to give you five, man. For staying alive. Thank you.